Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 16, ending in verse 17, where we see that a lot of things in life can pull your attention away from God and distract you from the course God has for your life. Even if you have been distracted or even fallen away from God, He wants to meet you right where you're at today and restore you. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16.
We're in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, and we'll handle verses 16 and 17. It's sort of the last part of this set that we've been in. It began in verse 12 of this chapter, and now we come to the close of this chunk of scriptures. It's the last of less, a warning here that's given to us by the writer. He's encouraging, he's exhorting the believer to run the race, to stay the course, and he's saying that in the midst of that, there needs to be these warnings, these take heeds that are given to the bride of Christ, or to those who are at least seeking to be a part of the bride of Christ, or maybe even sadly pretending to be the bride of Christ. And it will speak to you no matter where you are this morning, and the reason for that is because it's God's word and it's alive. It's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And whenever it's given its place, it speaks. The problem is never the word of God, it's not even the messenger, if the messenger is giving the word of God. It's the hearer. Something's wrong with our hearts or our ears if we can't receive when God's word is open. I don't care who the messenger is. I don't care how eloquent or articulate they are, how old or how young. If God's word is going forth, tried and true to scripture, then there should be something we could always all receive from it. Amen? So if you didn't bring a Bible and you're in the sanctuary, you can see the scriptures on the screen behind me. I'm assuming you on the lawn can do the same thing as you're watching on our Buffalo Bills Megatron out there. I hope that you guys are staying cool, that you're blessed. We're going to do communion today, our first Sunday back where we're able to have communion together. I feel like the Lord specifically spoke to my heart on Friday that we're supposed to do that. And I'll give away my message right at the start. I feel like the Lord said that He wants to heal His people spiritually. I feel like there's a lot of sickness among us spiritually. I feel like there's a lot of apathy that's settled in over the last 4 or 5 months. I feel like there's an indifference to the Lord, an indifference to His word. I sense it. I don't know what it's like in other churches, and I'm not knocking the church here. I'm a part of this church. God's speaking to me too, and He's dealing with my heart too. But I think that something happened in a lot of our hearts, not for the good, but for the bad, over the last several of months. And it's nobody's fault necessarily. I mean, we got separated from each other, and God never intended us to be separated. And I think we lost some momentum. I think we lost some strength. And the Lord, in His grace and mercy, He wants to draw us back today unto Himself and sort of rekindle the flame, rekindle the fire. He wants to sort of give us a jump start so that we can continue to run the race to win. Amen? So wherever you are today, let the Lord speak to you. Let Him deal with you. He's a loving Father, and he wants to draw us back unto Himself. And so let's read these verses here collectively, and then we'll take away what the Lord wants us to receive. I don't think it's going to be a lengthy message. I think it's going to be a worshipful service today where we spend some time with the Lord in prayer and communion. So let's just look at these verses, verse 16 and 17. Of Hebrews chapter 12, the writer here is speaking to the newly converted Hebrew Christians, and he says here, there's a warning. He says, hey, be careful, unless there be any fornicator. Any fornicator. I don't know if that's a word that we all understand today. It's sex outside of marriage. Any kind of sex. Any kind of sex. Sex with a girl if you're a guy. Sex with a guy if you're a guy. Sex with a guy if you're a girl, sex with a girl if you're a girl. No, they're any kind of sex. It's where we get our word porno from. It's a perverted word. It's a word that describes sexual activity outside of the marriage covenant between one man and one woman, okay? And he says, hey, there's got to be this warning given because sexual sin will sneak in quickly. You're trying to run the race? I'll tell you what, there's something here that will easily beset you, and that is sexual sin, fornication, activity sexually outside of the marriage bed. He says, heads up for that. There's got to be this warning that's given out. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. We all should be like, all right, I'm checking my heart, God. I don't want it to be the case. I don't want it to be the case that another woman, another woman, whatever it would be, is in my head outside of who you've given to me to be my spouse. If you're not married yet, God has somebody for you. Don't cheat on them. Hang tight. God's got somebody for you. And so he says this, listen, there's a danger here of there being fornication or somebody being a fornicator or a profane person. Okay, the word profane, in its truest sense, is speaking of the outside ground of the temple. It's speaking of the common ground, of public places. It's speaking of ground that anybody can walk on. It's the opposite of holy ground. What's the writer asking us to do? Be holy. What's the author asking us to do? Run our race to win. What's the author asking us to do? Keep our eyes on Jesus, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Run the race to win. Don't get caught up to the left or to the right. Look at the cloud of witnesses that have gone before you. Be encouraged. Be charged. Be encouraged. Be charged. In the process, though, be careful that you don't get off track. Be careful that you don't veer from the course, the lane that God, according to his genius, has laid out for you. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? How could that happen? Well, you could start having some beef with people because he says, follow peace with all men. So what's the opposite of peace? Animosity, strife, contention. You got to be careful of that. None of us are exempt. You got to pursue holiness because without that, no man can see the Lord. You got to watch your heart for bitterness. Bitterness, it's got a root. And if it's got a root, it's going to bear fruit. Anything with a root's going to bear fruit, and it's bad fruit. It's going to hurt you and it's going to defile everybody around you. Be careful of that, but also be careful that you're not perverted. Be careful that you're not a fornicator or a profane person. A fornicator is a profane person and a profane person is a fornicator. Be careful, he says, of these things. You're supposed to be holy, not unholy. You're supposed to be spiritual, not secular. Profane is secular. It's worldly. It's indifferent to God. This is what God is speaking to us this morning. Not a coincidence, he's got us right here, week two of regathering together. He says to Calvary Westside, I don't know what he's saying to the Father's house. I don't know what he's saying to First Bible Baptist. I don't know what he's saying to Grace Road. I don't know what he's saying to Calvary Chapel out in Finger Lakes. I don't know what he's saying to the other churches. I don't know what he's saying to the church across the street. I don't seek him for that. I seek him for this church. God, what are you saying to our church that I'm a steward over? What are you saying to me as a child of God? What does he want to say to you? What does he want to say to us? He says this morning. Guard your hearts because you've got two natures within you. You've got the spiritual person that has been reborn and has new life in Christ. And then you've got the old man or the old lady that never went away. Have you guys sensed that lately? You got two natures. You got a civil war in you, don't you? Some of you have been saved for decades and you can't believe the potential for there to be carnality in your life. If you're being honest with yourself. I've been saved since a little boy, and I can't even believe how quickly I could revert back to something I was outside of Christ. That person never goes away. Isn't that the truth? Amen just means I agree. So be it. Isn't that can I call for an amen for that so that we're not a bunch of Pharisees? It never goes away. I'm at my son's soccer tournament. If you're wondering where is Shauna today, She's manning the fort with my son. She's on the field. And we're at his tournament yesterday, the first tournament since COVID. And so, we're there, and the kids are not, I mean, they just started being able to practice last week. I don't know if you knew this, but soccer's a very, you need good cardio for soccer. You're running up and down the field. And I also don't know if you realize that we live in Florida now. It's very hot and tropical here. And yesterday, the kids were dogging in their afternoon game a little bit. More on our side than on the opposing team side. But the coach on the other side was this little lady, and she was the most obnoxious little lady that I had ever seen. She's across the field, running up and down the field with her players, screaming at them about our people in such a condescending way, such a nasty way. I'm talking like, my voice is weak because I have a tendency to yell a little bit too at games right now, but I'm talking, she was like to the top of her lungs. I mean, just nasty things like, these boys aren't as in shape as you guys are. Look at them. They're slugs. Now beat them, beat them, beat them. And I'm over there like, oh, Jesus, please. Number one, she's a lady. Number two, I'm supposed to be a Christian. Number three, I got to preach tomorrow. Like, this could get bad. And I can't even believe, like, that there's something there that wants to stand up and like, respond to her. I can't even, you ever get shocked by yourself? Listen, I tell you these stories every sports season. It's not that the stories are getting old, it's that I'm getting old. Nothing changes. I'm still the same wretch. It doesn't matter how much Bible reading I do. It doesn't matter how much seeking the Lord and how intended I am to be holy. I mean, I'll be honest with you, any minute that my brain isn't occupied with what's in front of me, I'm getting ready for a sermon. What's your hours? I don't have hours. I don't stop working. I wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and I'm thinking about the text that I'm going to preach to you. I mean, I am giving everything that I have to be holy. I'm giving everything that I have to walk with Jesus. And you want to know something? I fall on my face every single day. Is anyone else at all a little like this? I mean, it's difficult. It's a civil war. There's the new man, the new woman, if you're saved. You, a new creation, old things pass away. All things become new. You're a new creature in Christ. That's how Christ sees you. Don't get me wrong. That's the reality of the position that you have in his sight. But the reality for you and me is, man, is it's still being worked out. And that old man, that's why Paul says you got to crucify him daily because it wants to resurrect. And sadly, don't you wish it was annihilate him or annihilate her and then they're just gone and there's no battle? But what'd Spurgeon say? Dead men don't wrestle. Dead women don't wrestle. So every day, what happens? We gotta be careful. If this is the edge, we gotta walk close to it and say, hey, listen, I'm just one step away from falling on my face. So when the Holy Spirit says, hey, church at Spencerport, be careful in your race that you're running, lest any of you become a fornicator or profane person. Nobody gets to go like this. Unfortunately, that isn't for me. David was an older man when he had an affair with Bathsheba. There is no like, oh, I'm past that. There's this, walk humbly with your God and listen to what the word says to you. Careful of worldliness. 4 months out of church can produce some worldly carnal Christians. If it weren't the case, God designed, I'm in Corinthians in my devotions right now. God designed what? Pastors and teachers and those who can herald God's word for God's people to come together and to be washed in it. If you didn't need church, he wouldn't have instituted it. If you didn't need a place where you could be led, I mean, this is above and beyond what you need to be led by. These guys were ridiculously good this morning. I don't know what they drank or ate for breakfast today. I don't know what Chef's Catering is serving out there, if they ate some of that or what happened. But these guys were empowered by the Spirit of God. There's a reason that God designed corporate worship. I'm really ready when everybody can come back again. I almost don't want to ever live stream again. Because live stream has done something to the culture where it's like, oh, this was nice for 4 months. At first it was like, I'm never going to make it. And then after the first few weeks, it's like, oh, you know what? I don't even have to actually listen when the message stream. I can run to Wegmans. I can get my errands done. I can get a workout in. And then I'll just kind of listen when I'm folding laundry later. Or maybe on Monday I'll listen if I'm, you know, got some downtime on my lunch break. Now all of a sudden it becomes a thing where it's like secondary. Be careful. If you got a health issue or you're of an age where you have to be concerned, that's different. We're in a weird season right now. I respect that, and we'll do our best to get the service to you the way that we are in the meantime. But there's nothing to replace the huddling of God's people. Even the people out on the lawn, I can't wait to get them back in here. Because it ain't the same, and I know that. For those who are criticizing, I know that I'm doing the best. We're doing the best that we can. The word's got to go forth without interruption so the people on the other side that can't be here can hear the word of God. If we got children here, that can't happen. You understand? We need church. You have people outside of church for a lengthy time, they get worldly. Peter, give me your feet, I gotta wash them. Oh Lord, Get away from me. You're not washing my feet. There's not a shot you're washing my feet. That's not going to happen. And Peter and Jesus said back to Peter, Peter, you don't understand. I don't wash your feet. You got nothing to do with me. Peter said, well, in that case, I'll take a bath, Lord. I'll jump right in the tub and you can wash me from head to toe. Peter, you don't need to be washed from head to toe. You don't need to, that cleansing's already happened. You just need your feet washed because that world is dirty and that's where you're trekking through Sunday afternoon to Sunday morning. That's where you guys all are all week. Listen, my feet are getting dirty and I'm at the church most of the time. Our feet get dirty. We have propensity to sin. The writer here is saying this, you got to be careful. That's fornication, that's sexual sin. I don't know how to water that down. I won't even try to water that down. That's sexual sin. All of us are bent toward it. Nobody should be acting like that will never be me. It's the truth. It could be all of us. And profanity, an unholiness, a secular spirit, a worldliness. Be careful of any of that, he says. He says like this. Otherwise, he says, you're going to be like Esau. He says, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, when he realized, listen to me, please, when he realized there was a blessing attached to the birthright, that's what it's saying here. It's at that point that he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he saw it, what's it? The blessing. Though he saw it, the blessing, carefully with tears. You guys know whose brother Esau is, right? Jacob. You remember Esau comes out, his parents, Isaac, Rebecca, he comes out first and he's red and he's hairy. My son, when he was born, he had hair all over his shoulders, all over his ears and big, long black hair all over his head. I don't know if your kids were born that way, looking like a little monkey coming out, hair everywhere. But my wife was obsessed with the shoulder hair. Esau came out with hair all over him, red hair, and so they called him Esau. And out after him came his twin brother, Jacob, who was holding on to his heel catcher, right? And that's how they entered the world. So who's the older of the two? This ain't a trick question. If Esau came out first service, Esau is the older of the two, right? So automatically in the culture then, the birthright went to the eldest sibling. Which meant two things. It meant this, you get double of what everybody else gets. Well, that's exciting. Whatever mom and dad leave behind, you get double of the other siblings. It should bring this back for the oldest boy in the family. I think it's good. And then, in addition to that, there's a responsibility. Now, when the patriarch of the family dies, you are now that spiritual leader. You are now that spiritual leader. You got a spiritual role to guide and to lead your family to church, to guide and lead your family to the scripture, to prayer, to the knowledge of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Esau, the scripture says, was a profane, a secular, worldly guy, a fornicator. Jewish tradition says that when he was out, remember, and he came in and Jacob was cooking and Jacob bribed him and said, I'll give you some of my lentil soup here if you give me your birthright. And what does Esau say? He's like, who cares about the birthright? I'm hungry. Listen, Esau was all kitchen, no chapel. Write it down. That's profound. It will stay with you for the rest of the week, and it will challenge you in your walk. He was all kitchen and no chapel. All fleshly, bodily appetites, give it to me. No concern about God. Even if what I'm going after, God says, isn't part of the plan, I'm still going after it. Anybody starting to get a little bit uncomfortable? Even if God says, don't date her, even if God says, don't get into a relationship with him, he doesn't believe like you believe. Even if God says, don't put that into your body, even if God says, don't get nasty like that and gossip and slander, I'm still gonna do it. Is it resonating? Even if God says, don't look at that image, I'm still going to look. Even if God says, man, that's got to leave your heart. You got to repent of that because the heart will make a convert out of the mind. I'm still going to harbor it. You understand what I'm saying? This is Esau. He's like this. What do I care about the birthright? You know what he's saying essentially? What do I care about what my dad Isaac has told me? Check this out. Esau and Jacob were 16 years old when Abraham, their grandfather, died. That means Papa Abraham and their father Isaac would have told them of the promises of the Lord concerning who? Messiah, Jesus Christ. That name ring a bell with you? That he would one day come into the world and save all men from their sins. Guess what Esau's like? Don't care. Not interested in God. Not interested in the horizon beyond this. Not interested in life after. Not interested in God's people, man. I'm interested in the here and now. And the thing about Esau is if he walked in the room, he'd be the guy that all the guys would be like, that's the guy. He'd be that guy. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he'd be the guy that all of us guys would have a man crush on. He'd be the guy that's like this big, strapping, strong, hairy hunter. Which I love hunters. Those who bring in that venison jerky and what I love you guys. I'm thankful for you. But listen, the only other time the description of somebody being a hunter is used in Scripture is of Nimrod. It's not a positive thing, it's a negative thing. He was a vicious man who hunted men. Jacob was tame. Everyone trashes Jacob. Everyone's like, oh, Jacob, you know, this little pretty boy and the kid. Oh, no. The word tame is actually a word that speaks of maturity. He might have been sly and he might have been a manipulator, but he had a heart for God and the Messiah. Esau didn't. And it wasn't until he realized that that birthright had a blessing attached to it that he sought it. And that's why it says here that when he sought it, the blessing, there was no longer an opportunity. God concreted the decision he had already made and rejecting the birthright. Rejecting the birthright. Rejecting the birthright. We got a birthright too. It's the same birthright that comes all the way down from Jacob. Because we've been born into the family of the Messiah that came from his loins. Regeneration. You all know that? And the writer is saying this because we can go 86 different ways with just two verses. The writer is saying this on this first communion Sunday post-COVID. Separation. He's saying this. Whatever is vying for your attention out there, whatever is being dangled in front of your eyes, I always think when I use that analogy in my mind, I always think of Samson just being lulled by Delilah. Whatever is being used by the enemy to entice you right now in this season that you're in, it doesn't have to be sexual sin. Profanity is the way that this word is used here in the Greek, it's a very general statement.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.